Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Please remain standing as Jana reads from the Word of God, Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11.
Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy.
Thank you. Please be seated.
We wanted to share a song with you, and we've done it before, but it's Mansion Over the Hill about this one that we just, I love and always have loved. In case you were wondering, you know, on the Gloria Factory or the Doxology, we don't play the guitar on that. That's because the folks who wrote those knew a whole lot more about music than I do. They've got chords in there I haven't found on my guitar. I don't think they made this one with them chords, but I haven't found that. I'm satisfied with just the kind of feel.
Send her a story, but I'm a little too sleep deprived. Okay. She noted, over 90 million Americans suffer from some form of sleep deprivation or insomnia symptom every single night. That is a sobering statistic with huge implications for our reaction time, clarity, and focus in affecting everything we do, from worker productivity to driving. Last week, I decided to lighten up the subject a little bit and poke fun at ourselves and the historical things we do while bone tired. After all, walking zombies do some funny stuff, she said. I'm amazed at the sheer volume of funny stories I received this week reflecting on the idiotic things we do when sleep deprived. Here are some of the best of the best. Putting both contacts in one eye. Almost mistaking nail glue for contact solution. Going to sleep and forgetting the dogs were outside in the cold. And most of the dogs that I know will let you know if you forget them. Putting the dustpan in the refrigerator and the milk on the floor near the bottom. Looking for my glasses and finding two pairs on my head. Finding the butter in the dish cabinet. Wearing a terrific suit and two different black pumps. And finally, going through the drive-thru for coffee and ordering from the trash can. Another classic story came from a wiped-out woman at work who was on the phone with a client and automatically said, "I love you," at the end of the business call. And I have to admit, I've done the same thing. A single mom in Florida admitted to pouring coffee into her daughter's sippy cup for preschool. And then drove off gulping nasty apple juice from her to-go mug. One of her favorite sleep-deprived stories describes a woman in her late 40s who had a surprise new baby and was back in the newborn haze. She was running through Old Navy for a few baby items and got stuck in an endless line that would never move. As she stood there growing increasingly infuriated, she finally woke up to realize she'd been standing behind a mannequin for 20 minutes. The origin of the Hebrew Sabbath is uncertain, but it seems to have been derived from the verb sabbat, meaning to stop, to cease, or to keep. Its theological meaning is rooted in God's rest following the 6 days of creation that we read about in Genesis chapter 2. The Greek noun sabbat translates the Hebrew noun. The noun form is used primarily to denote the seventh day of the week, though it can occasionally refer to a Sabbath week at the end of every seven Sabbaths, or 50 days, or the Sabbath year. I would like the Sabbath year, personally. In which the land was to be at complete rest. You know, it's interesting that modern farmers learned about the importance of letting the soil grow fallow, but God knew it, and so did God's people. Forms of this word occur 104 times in the Old Testament. The Lord is serious about the Sabbath. According to the Baker Encyclopedia of the Bible, the Sabbath was a day from Friday evening until Saturday morning in Jesus' time, when all ordinary work stopped. The scriptures relate that God gave his people the Sabbath as an opportunity to serve him, and as a reminder of two great truths of the Bible, creation and redemption. The creation note is sounded in Genesis chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. God ceased his work in creation after 6 days and then blessed the seventh day, declaring it holy. Barclay notes that the Sabbath command is unique in requiring rest for servants, animals, and resident aliens. In other words, in the rest of the ancient world,
if you were a citizen of that kingdom, you were supposed to have rest. But if you were a foreigner, they would work you to the bone. If you're an animal, they would work you to the bone. This expansion of the wilderness command was only the beginning of the broadening of the law by specifying other applications. For more on the release of debt slaves every seventh year, letting land lie fallow, and weekly rest for the animals, see Exodus 21, verse 2, and Exodus chapter 23. The Sabbath has been called the greatest worker protection program in history. In the fourth commandment, dealing with God, the next six we will see dealing with our relations with other people, God's blessing and setting aside of the seventh day after creation, the words used are the same as those in Genesis, form the basis of his demand that men and women should observe the seventh day as a day of Sabbath rest before the Lord your God. Not a Sabbath day so that we could golf or go fishing or go shopping, but a seventh day so that we will remember the Lord. In brief, bless is the language of giving, while declare holy is the language of claiming. When God blesses something, it becomes a vehicle for his generous giving and an expression of his warm concern. The commandments were given to help us and to protect us. When God declares something holy, he claims it for himself. We remember that we are bought with a price. Taking it out of ordinary circulation, whether it is a place, a day, or an animal, and declaring it special. God has declared you special. This provides a clue to God's intention in requiring people to observe the Sabbath. Freed from time-consuming everyday work, men and women should accept the seventh day as a blessing from their Creator, using it to recall all of God's goodness in creation and to praise Him for it, and recognize the claim that He makes on our lives. As a day set aside, the Sabbath is a reminder that all time is the Creator's gift. Everything that has breath is to praise the Lord. Everything around us that we can breathe, that we have relationships, everything is a gift from the Almighty Maker of heaven and earth. For the pious Jew, keeping the Sabbath is a mitzvah, or duty before God. Indeed, the Old Testament makes Sabbath observance so seriously that profaning it results in the death penalty in both Exodus and Numbers. Most Christians, except for Seventh-day Adventists, observe the Sabbath on Sunday because we remember the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, that he was dead and buried for 3 days, but rose in glory on the third day, on a Sunday. Patience Kodiwa from Zimbabwe shared the following story. While attending the University of Zimbabwe, my friend and classmate had an information technology exam scheduled for the Sabbath day. Without taking the exam, she would not graduate. She asked for a change of date, and the dean refused. We prayed in a prayer band for almost 2 weeks, but the lecturers' hearts were not changed. Exam day came, and my friend passed several classmates going to the university for the exam as she headed to church. The prayer band did not give up, and our morning prayers flooded the Almighty. When lunchtime came, my friend saw several classmates waiting outside the church. They told her that the electricity had gone off at the exact time that the exam was supposed to start. The lecturers were forced to delay the exam to another day. In the 1981 film, Chariots of Fire, it was based on the true story of Eric Little a Scottish sprinter and Christian missionary, who disqualified himself from his best event at the 1924 Olympics because the race was on a Sunday. We're called to have faith that we need a time of refreshing. We need to have faith that God knows what we need. Reality is often more than we can see and touch. A godly perspective considers that more is going on than meets the eye. I don't know about you, but I grew up watching the Transformers cartoon. And the tagline, when they wanted me to buy toys, or to pressure my mom to buy me toys, was there were more than meets the eye. You might be looking at an 18-wheeler, or an airplane, or a car, but inside was a living robot that could transform. It's an imperfect analogy, but there is more than meets the eye to everything that we see and experience. God is on the move in ways that we will never comprehend. A godly perspective realizes that more is going on than we can see. Arn and Peter decide to go ice fishing. They head out, find a nice spot, cut a hole in the ice, and stick in their poles. Suddenly, a loud voice booms from above. There are no fish here. They look around, look at each other, and look up, and they don't see anyone. I suppose we'd better move on then, says Peter. They get up and find another spot on the ice, cut a hole, and stick in their poles with great hope for some fresh fish. Once again, the voice booms. There are no fish here. They look around, look at each other, then look up again. Again, they don't see anyone. We best find another spot, says Arn. So they gather up their equipment, choose another promising spot on the ice, cut a hole, and stick in their poles. Once again, the voice booms from above. There are no fish here. They look around, look at each other, and look up, again seeing no one. Peter calls out, God in heaven, is that you? The voice responds, no, this is the skating rink manager. There are no fish here. Sometimes there's more going on than we can see. Matthew chapter 12, Mark chapter 2, Luke chapter 6 record Jesus and his disciples traveling, eating, and Jesus performing healing miracles on the Sabbath. In addition, other passages record healings conducted on the Sabbath day. The Pharisees observe the acts and confront Jesus about breaking the Sabbath law. Pretty humorous, the Pharisees confronting Jesus, of all people, about breaking the Sabbath. Jesus responds that David was allowed to break the Sabbath when he ate bread in the house of God, and that the priests break the Sabbath rules every Sabbath by conducting the burnt and peace offerings. In Mark 2:27, Jesus utters the phrase, "The Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath." The phrase brings into focus two primary points. The Sabbath regulations, as interpreted by the Pharisees, had lost the intent of the Sabbath prescribed in the Old Testament. They had added rule after rule, tradition after tradition, onto the backs of the people. Therefore, the rules they observed were human-made, not God-made, and were able to be broken. The Sabbath proclaimed at creation was intended to serve humankind as a holy day, a giving blessing, and observing God's rest and restoration. Nothing of Jesus' or his disciples' actions were contrary to the purpose and intent of the Sabbath. As such, Jesus was not rewriting the law, but fulfilling and clarifying the law. We should be gracious to people. If someone works on Sunday, then they should honor the Sabbath another day of the week. When we consider the Sabbath, we should ask the question, How do we honor God in the Sabbath? How do we love God and love people on the Sabbath? How do we as modern day Americans apply this passage to our lives? First, we all need rest. We live in a country that values activity, achievement, and accomplishment. I have a friend that has a business here in town, and he takes off a day every week. And unfortunately, because of the demands of his business, the other days he works 14 hours a day. We all need to take off that break. Whether in our careers, churches, schools, or families, busyness is the norm in our lives. And anything less makes us feel unproductive and anxious. We have to work all the harder then to pursue true rest in a 24/7 world that's constantly in motion. This is one day when family members can spend the time with God and each other. But there is also a danger that we will turn the disciplines of rest into another form of work. Someone recently put it to me this way: all this talk about disciplines of rest, it makes me tired just thinking about it. Rest begins when we enter a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Jesus is our rest, our hope, our peace, our rock, our fortress. He provides us rest. When we do that, we are entering a state of rest, because it means that we recognize that everything that needs to be done to make us right with God has already been done. Next, we should follow Jesus' example. Jesus preached to the sick and preached to crowds, but then he would withdraw to pray and rest. Jesus followed cycles. He would heal, he would teach, he would disciple, and then he would rest. If the Lord needed to do that in his time on earth, then so do we. The Sabbath also allows us to step back from the ordinary routines and busyness of life. We tend to think of rest as an indulgence, but in reality, rest involves a measure of self-denial. Rest requires us to cease our ordinary activities and break away from our daily relationships. When we are at rest, we're often unavailable. It is when I am overwhelmed with busyness and frantically trying to make my mark and accomplish my agenda that I come to the end of the day with the feeling that I have wasted it. But when we come to the end of the day in the arms of Christ, we have not wasted nothing. And this is unusual for us to hear as Americans, but rest is sacred. Rest is sacred because rest begins with God. God is the first one to rest in Scripture. This is amazing when you consider that God never grows weary and is never in need of sleep. The Lord simply gave us a good example. Yet when the Bible says that God rested on the seventh day, it means exactly what it says. To fully grasp the biblical idea of rest, we must look beyond the biblical institution of Sabbath day and realize that rest is ultimately in a person, in Jesus. The Sabbath is also meant to be experienced as a part of a community of believers. We're the koinonia, the assembly of the saints. We're the family of God. There should be no Lone Ranger Christians. You know, it's interesting, if you ever watch Walker, Texas Ranger, you know, there are all these problems, and there's hostages taken, and people are getting shot, and it doesn't matter. Because Walker, Texas Ranger, otherwise known as Chuck Norris, is going to walk in, do a roundhouse kick, and all the problems are going to be solved. We're not Walker, Texas Ranger. We need each other. Hebrews 10:23-25. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. how this week can we apply this to our lives? The need to worship our Lord in rest and to be with other believers. Please join me for the benediction. May the love of the Father, the tenderness of the Son, and the presence of the Spirit gladden your heart and bring peace to your soul this day and all days. Amen.